Welcome to the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. On today's show, we have someone who, unfortunately, I never really had the chance to shake hands with and really get to know. We've met through similar acquaintances, specifically being Elijah Nelson, shout out to the co-host here, being one of them. And not only am I excited to get to know this person more on this podcast episode today, also really, really excited to get into today's game and discussions. We're going to get into it. Jason Harris is this gentleman's name, born and raised in Manhattan / the Bronx. 28 years old, he goes by his gamer tag, Gen Physics. You can follow him on his YouTube page, Galmer Trace. All the information is going to be in the show notes, as always. Destiny 2 is the main focus on this episode. Destiny 2, also known as Destiny 2 New Light, is a free-to-play online multiplayer first-person shooter game developed by Bungie. It is the sequel to 2014's Destiny and its expansions. Topics to be discussed, some life lessons as always, meta talk, and much, much more. So, Jason, man, as always, I want to open up the podcast episode by really, really thanking you, bro. Thank you for your time, your stories, and everything that you're going to provide to us here on this grand show today, because, you know, people who are listening, man, they can get encouraged. You know, you could pull somebody out of the dumps. You could really impact somebody's life. And I just want to say, bro, thank you. Thank you so much for your time, bro.
Thank you for having me, man.
Of course, of course. So, as always, I like to start off the podcast episode with five questions, not necessarily on the game we're going to talk about today, but just, you know, just to get the engines going with everything that we're going to be discussing here today. So, Jasonga, sir, if you are ready for your questions, you can get on with the show.
All right, let's do it, man. Sounds good.
The first question is, what's a good recent movie you would recommend to someone that you've seen?
Good recent movie, I would say Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh man. I still haven't seen that movie. I'm pulling a crime here. It's a crime. I've heard a lot about it. Just some backstory on it. Just give us some details as to why you think it's one of those best movies, one top five or something.
Okay, so probably the best way I can explain it without giving out spoilers is kind of like Disney and Cartoon Network childhood moment. Like, you know, you ever seen a cartoon or a Disney movie or show, you just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, you know, it just kind of just blows everything else out the water. Mm-hmm. And just gives you that, you know, nostalgic feeling. Ooh. I would say definitely that is why I recommend it.
And that nostalgia, as we always say, is one heck of a drug, right? It hits hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
All right. I dig it. I dig it, man. Next question. Are there any books or comics you've delved into that are from a gaming franchise?
From a gaming franchise. So I recently started The Witcher series. Ooh. I started reading that a little bit. Yeah. And it's funny, though, because it was... I actually played the game as well. I played Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt. I still haven't finished it yet. And I actually stopped playing it. I think they're going to come out with a software update where they make it run at 60 frames on a PS5. Cause it's nice. A little choppy and stuff. Yeah. Cause it was basically released for PS4. But, I recently got into that, and it was really because I saw the Netflix, adaptation of it, which is really, really cool with Henry Cavill and all the rest of the, you know, the cast and the crew. And so it really got me interested, like, you know, wow, okay. So it's a video game, you know, they made this into a Netflix series. Yeah. I'm gonna check out the novels, you know?
Nice. So yeah.
That's why I delved into that.
Cool. I've heard stories about like timelines and big plots and all that stuff in that franchise.
I covered a lot of things in the series and whatnot, but it's probably so much lore in there that, you know, really, I'm the type of person where I really like to delve in there, you know, and get all the details.
I feel
and
just
expand more.
I feel that 100%. There was episode we did on Dead Space, and I read the books for Dead Space. Oh man, I ate those things up. You know, I just love, like you said, digging into the lore. Kind of just finding out what else is available. It's like squeezing an orange for like all its juice, you know?
Right.
I like that. I definitely like that. And there's a lot of games that do it too. There's a lot of games. I mean, even today's game, right? Even Destiny has a big lore knowledge.
Oh, a plethora of lore knowledge. So much stuff. It's just like
I can't wait for that. We're gonna get into that.
Oh yeah, we most definitely are.
All right. So third question is water stages, temples, and just water areas, period, are synonymous for being like the worst or like groaning stages and things in video games. So what is one of your like worst hated water stages? If not, just one of your worst stages, period, in any game or chapter or anything like that.
Worst hated water stage. So this is going to take it back. I think we all know about the Soul Calibur, you know, like video game. When I was little, I was about like 5 or 6. I think the first kind of like installment to that series was called like Soul Blade, if I'm not mistaken, for PlayStation. And I distinctly remember this level where I played as Maxi, you know, the guy with the, you know, the nunchucks and stuff like that. I'm fighting Astaroth, and it's like this plaque of like wood just flowing in this like river, basically. The wood is so small that like basically you had a better chance of ringing out somebody than actually defeating them like on the placard of wood. And it's just flowing down this, you know, this riverbed, and it's just like, you know, you're trying to like keep within the center because all the other, you know, geometrics is fighting against you where they could easily just kick you or, you know, shove you off the wood. Yeah, that probably was like the most hated stage. I always hated that stage. Like, oh my gosh. And it will always come up in the campaign. Like, it didn't matter who you played as. It could be, you know, Sophidia, it could be Maxi, Taki. He was always on there. Just like,
oh my God. And they did it on purpose too.
Yeah, and then on purpose, you know, it's like, man, it's like got that meme where it's like the guy, you know, he's got like 2 red buttons and he's just sweating. Like, okay, do I stay in the center or do I like just go for the ring out? Man.
Nah, I feel that. That is definitely annoying because it also depends on what the character you pick too, right? Because sometimes they could fight with long range or just be in somebody's face, right? Right. So yeah, I feel that 100%.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like game developers, like a little bit, like maybe they put those like cheesy moments in there just to shake up things a little bit, you know, add a little bit of, you know, comedic relief or something.
Oh, of course.
Throw you off a little bit. Like, why would they even put this in here, man? Like,
oh my God. Yeah, totally. Totally. There's a moment. I don't know if you've ever played the Devil May Cry series, but there's a moment in Devil May Cry 1, because this is a hack and slash game, you know, and for some odd reason, they put this section in the game where you're underwater as Dante, first person, shooting a harpoon gun at frogs. I'm just like, wow, where did this come from?
it's just like a fever dream.
Totally out of place. So developers definitely had this thing where like they put in a joke on you, whatever it is. I don't know, man, but water stages, bro. All right. Moving on to the fourth question. What games are you excited for or, you know, really enthusiastic about this year?
Elden Ring for me, because I really enjoyed like the Soul series and things like that. And I know that game is very hard. But I love it though, because it gives you that challenge. You know, you can't just go in there and hack and slash. You know, you got to be a little strategic. You know, you got to be a little more careful in how you navigate through the maps and the planes and whatnot, the enemies you face.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a really good game I actually played to kind of follow up on that was Sekiro. That was like probably the most realistic swordplay. Like whoever implemented the mechanic, like, you know what, let's have them parry and like counter, you know, not just block, let's have them like parry and you got to time it right. That was really good.
Yeah, they hit it out the park with that one, whoever came up with that mechanic. That's some shit. And before that, the game I played before that that I really also really loved too in the series, not in the series but just like in the whole genre, Bloodborne. Definitely.
Oh man, they really pulled it out, you know, the arsenal and whatnot, and just like whoever was the mind behind that with the artistic creation, and they really got a good one, man.
that's what I'm saying. Like, that was one of the games that, because of its style and lore, like, I researched all of that Chthun, like all that mm-hmm. universe and stuff. Like, I really delved into it because I was just like, yo, what does this all mean? Why am I seeing this? Because, you know, like, after a certain point, you start seeing things and stuff like that. Like, the game gets deep in its lore. So, you know, and the challenge too. You know, you mentioned the challenge. It's always a good time. Always a good time. And I get mad nowadays because I think games are too easy. I don't know if you agree with that.
I guess my understanding is, like, there are certain games where if they're developed, you kind of don't expect them to be really hard. Like, take, for example, like, you know, like Mario Kart or Mario Party, or, you know,
you're right.
Maybe even Pokemon to a certain extent, right? But if it's like a game that's like Dark Souls, or it's like, you know, you kind of the lone survivor, you navigating open world, yeah, it's going to be some challenges. And I don't expect it to always just be easy. And there's a reason for that. And we're probably going to talk about on this much more later. But it's kind of like an analogy to life a little bit. You know, it teaches you a life lesson. Like, sometimes you really have to, you have to put in the work, you know. Ooh, and the man, thing is, it's not always, you know, listen to a rapper, Big Sean, you know, it's not always about when you pretty much get the trophy. It's what it took to grab it. You know what I mean? So you got to enjoy that journey as you get to the pinnacle and you actually grab what you came for. But it's also, well, did you enjoy the journey and process through that? How did that go? Because that's what it took to actually get that item or loot that you wanted, you know?
Yeah. Oof, man, it's early on in this podcast. You're coming out strong, man.
I'm going to try to dial it back.
No, but like you said, we're going to get into it later. I love it. So last question. Who did you look up to, or even still do, in the gaming universe? Any specific character or any game developer, or, you know, just somebody that really, really stuck with you?
Any game developer. So,
or characters, or any,
you know. Or characters. So I'm a go with Yoshi P. He's one of the producers and like developers of Final Fantasy 14, like the online version. And so the reason why I look up to Yoshi P is that he really came in and saved Final Fantasy 14. And if you ask anybody who's been playing, you know, 14 online since day one, they'll tell you, like, yeah, it, like, Yoshi P came through, he made some changes, and, you know, he saved it. But what I love about Yoshi P, and I don't know, and it might just be a culture thing in Japan. Maybe they're raised and taught this way, you know, it's probably ingrained in them when they're little. But he's very thorough and he's very open. He cuts through all the BS and he's very person to person. He's very reasonable. He's not gonna BS you. He's not gonna give you some bureaucratic answer. If there's a reason why he can't release this, he will tell you straight up, like, look, I really want this to be good. You guys been waiting on this. I don't want no half-assed product. When it comes out, I really want you guys to enjoy this, you know? And he takes accountability, you know? He's very hard on himself, and that's something that I am as well to me. Like, I'm hard on myself as well, too. So we have a lot of similarities. We both like to work hard. We are hard on ourselves. We might judge ourselves too critical. And I remember he did a live stream a couple weeks back before Endwalker came out, and he had announced that he had to push Endwalker back. And, you know, he was very, I don't want to say he was distraught, but he was very heartbroken because he really wanted it to come out on time. But everybody in the chat was just showing so much love. Like, they were like, Yoshi P, man, like, brother, like, it's all right, man. Like, we get it. It's, you know, the craziness going on in the world right now, setbacks, it's all good, man. Like, I even put in the chat, like, bro, it's okay. Like, this gives me time to focus on other characters.
Yeah.
What I really want for you is just to take care of yourself and your family. You know, like, don't be so hard on yourself. We can all be somewhat of a perfectionist at times, right? Because we want to kind of like, okay, I got this right, but then, oh man, well, what about this? Oh, well, damn, all right, there's an opening in this map. Well, yep. Okay, I passed that up, but damn, now the lighting's not right for this. And it's just like, he's just very humble, knowledgeable, and thorough, and a heart-to-heart person, man. Yeah. And he really cares. And you can see that not only through him, but through his work. You know what I'm saying? Through the effort he puts in, through his team, you know? And so it's going to be, I mean, I think he's going to be around for a little while longer with Final Fantasy. I'm pretty sure he is. And if I'm not mistaken, he should be, I think he's leading the chariot with Final Fantasy 16, if I'm mistaken. Yeah, he's leading that up. So, yeah, it's like Yoshi P, man. You know, shout out to Yoshi P.
Hey, let's get it. God.
Yeah, and I'll tell you real quick, too, why he's so amazing. So, the composer for Final Fantasy, I believe, is Masashi Soken, if I'm not mistaken, and I hope I didn't get that wrong. And Soken was actually battling cancer during Shadowbringers. And Yoshi P immediately told Soken, because Soken, he loves his craft too. You know, he still wants to make music. And, you know, Soken was like, no, I still want to do music. I still want to put out this soundtrack. Like, I still want to do it. And Yoshi P was like, no, man, like, just please, like, you've done more than enough. Like, I don't want you to, like, burden yourself with this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was backing Yoshi P, like, greeting with him. Like, you know, Soken, man, like, take time off. Like, it's okay, man. Like, this is no harm, no foul. Like, brother, you battling cancer. Like, this is a serious, you know what I'm saying? This is a serious life thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, and, man.
Soken came out with this song. It's called To the Edge. And you hear it when you fight Elidibus in Shadowbringers. And I'm sorry if I gave out any spoilers. I know Shadowbringers is a hot minute now, so I'm hoping people already kind of know this. But when you're playing through that level, that trial, and you're fighting Elidibus, you know that the composition is so good. It's like a rock theme. But then when I looked at the lyrics, like, and what he wrote and sung to, he wrote that while he was battling cancer, like in the hospital.
Oh my God. And so
the impact had, like, everybody was just like, what? And nobody knew that he wrote this song. Nobody even knew he was battling cancer. That was a crazy thing. So when Yoshi P told us, like, yeah, he Soken actually wrote and composed this song while he was battling cancer, all the lyrics just had that much more of an impact.
Oh, it hit. Yeah.
Like,
ooh, it hit.
Like, that is powerful. Like, that's crazy. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Jason, all right. That's two for two, man. You need to calm down.
I got to calm down, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yo, we only, like, 15 minutes into this thing. Damn. Oh, all right. First off, because you said a lot of very important things here. And, you know, one of the things that I want to tackle, you mentioned how, you know, they're taking their time with these projects and these games and really putting in their heart and soul into the stuff. And they don't want to release crappy product. They don't want to release something that people are not going to really enjoy. And in the gaming space nowadays, it's unfortunate that a lot of the stuff being released, it's not finished. Mm-hmm. It's glitchy messes and garbage. So to hear this story, I hope a lot of people take notes on that and really just focus in on their projects and really give the people that content and that life and powerful stuff, because there's not a lot of people doing that. They just doing it for the cash, right?
You're absolutely right, and we see that a lot nowadays. You know, we're gonna get into that too, but we see that a lot nowadays. Yeah, it's like the team at Square with Yoshi P, they like part of an old vanguard, man, but there's a reason why people still love him. And it's because, you know, it's like he could be right next to you, basically talking to you in person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Yoshi P, the type of dude, like, you know, for a funny term, definitely invited to the cookout, right? Like, you can bring him over to your family's house and he can eat and dine with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's get it, man. I respect that 100. I respect. And I don't even know this guy, but I want to meet him. I want to know about him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it makes me want to play the game too, you know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate that, man. And, you know, I definitely think we got the energy going for this podcast, man. And we're going to hit up on a lot of those topics that you mentioned, but You know, before we get into the game, one final thing, man. Again, I want to say thank you so much for being here today, your time. It really, really means a lot to me and the people listening on this show, bro. So thank you. Thank you.
No worries, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Let's do it. So Destiny, man, let's get into that. Let's get into
all right, the game,
man. Okay. Yeah. So when, well, first off, I'm already imagining you played a lot of Destiny 1, right? So when did you first get into Destiny?
So that's actually the funny thing. I did not play Destiny 1.
You did not play Destiny 1.
I did not play Destiny 1. The reason why is because I didn't have the time to. And when I finally did get the time, Destiny 2 was literally right around the corner. Okay. So what I did was, I was like, you know what? Like, I seen Destiny 2 coming out. And I had asked my wife, and my wife asked me, and she was like, she's like, do you want to get, because they had a PS4 Pro bundle for Destiny 2. So it was just like a white PS4 Pro that came with Destiny 2.
Fire.
Yeah. And so she's like, do you want to just get that one? And I was like, you know what, let's do it. So I traded in, I had an Xbox One. I traded that in for the PS4 Pro just because it was kind of dry during that season. It was really nobody on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because due to my, the career I'm in, you know, I'm gone for long periods of time, or like, you know, so a lot of stuff changes. So I traded that in, got the PS4 Pro with the Destiny 2 bundle. And from there, it just took off, logged in. And it's not to say that even though I didn't play Destiny 1, I still was keeping up with like the lore and the story and like, you know, where it's going. Shout out to My Name is Bife. Because he does an amazing job on how to telling the story, navigating it, and the lore and whatnot.
My name is Bife. Is that a YouTube channel?
Yeah, that's a YouTube channel. Yeah, and so I watch a lot of his videos to just get caught up with the story and like what's going on in the current events. And yeah, that's how I got into Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's cool. Yeah, I mean, my experience with Destiny, like you, I didn't play the first one. I bought the second one, Destiny 2, when it first was released, because me and my friends was looking for something else to play. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we played it for a little bit, but we felt like it was a lackluster game when it first came out. And within like weeks, everyone dropped it. I loved the PvP. I thought it was something very interesting. But by the time that I was like really getting into the PvP, my friends was like, let's play something else. So, you know, I got to stick with the boys. And we went out and played something else. But, you know, tell me about Destiny 2, man. Tell me why you started to like the game. Tell me about its mechanics, the story. Let's get in this, man.
All right. So with Destiny 2, and I know when it first launched, a lot of people were disappointed. Mm-hmm. And that's funny. And that's funny enough, because I think if I played Destiny 1, I probably really wouldn't have played Destiny 2 as much as I play it now, just because I would have gotten used to one thing. And then, you know, going over to the sequel, you know, there was a lot of complications with it. People felt it was rushed. You know, it was a lot of content that they had in D1 that just kind of dropped off, and people were just kind of wondering why. But yeah, so with Destiny 2, like the reason why I play that game so much, and I probably have like almost like 4,000 hours logged on this game, is it's a sci-fi like action shooter, right? It deals with different galaxies, space, planets, right? It's like a Star Wars and Halo combined together in a way, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's within that realm, and it has so much potential just going forward. It's literally limitless. And the story as of right now is very interesting too, right? So you have this big floating orb called the Traveler, right, that goes around to different galaxies, gives people what's called the light, which gives them powers and makes them guardians, right? Basically, mm-hmm. you know, it makes a ghost. The ghosts kind of revive guardians and whatnot. And then you have the darkness that kind of chases after the Traveler, right? The darkness's theme is like, it claims it wants to bring balance, right? Because what happened before, and you probably noticed too with Destiny 1, is like you had the golden age, and then the collapse happened. The collapse happened because the darkness pretty much came in and like destroyed everything, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Traveler pretty much like revived stuff and whatnot. So the story is not exactly black and white, if that makes sense, right? There's a lot, like where they are right now in the story, there are really a lot of important questions people are really asking, and they're starting to analyze and be like, wait a minute, so is the Traveler really good? Or like, is the darkness really inherently evil? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's really evil? Like, how do you even gauge that? Is, how do you know the Traveler is good? If the Traveler was good, why didn't it do this? Or why did it run away from this? And we got to keep in mind, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure the Traveler has not spoken to us yet. Like, it hasn't given us any answers. It hasn't really, like, talked to us in a way. It shows itself through, like, symbolism. So, like, it'll be, like, a bird or some sort of, like, you know, like, some sort of mechanism.
Like a sign, right?
Like a sign, right, yeah, or a symbol. But it hasn't really spoken. And so, yeah, the story is just, it's just amazing. I mean, yeah, but what else you want to ask me about Destiny 2, man? I mean,
let me get you in there. Because that brings up a lot of question about morality and like what's good and what's evil, right? So how does that lore, how does all that affect you while playing the game? How does it all fit together, like in this package?
Yeah, so the lore has a lot of how would I say, like kind of like allegory in a way, like, you know, you can kind of compare it to real life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the lore always, you know, drags me in. Like, for example, one of the Hive people known as Sabathun, you know, she had, I think she had two other sisters, which was, you know, Oryx, which was the Taken King in D1. That was a huge success. And then you have Zeebo Araf, right? But the thing is, the Hive, their home planet is called, I believe, Fundament. And the thing is, their family and another family was like feuding for like the throne or something like that. And pretty much their species was like kind of like on the verge of extinction in a way. And the three sisters that escaped were like pretty much like kind of like the only like remaining heirs to their bloodline. Mm-hmm. And so they delve in the water. And before they delve in the water, their father had like this worm, right? And the worm was kind of navigating them and telling them like, okay, go this way, go that way, avoid this route. Okay, go on this ship, right? Mm-hmm. And basically they descend all the way down into the deep on their homeworld Fundament, and they make a pact with these these worm gods, right? I think one of them was like Akka, the other one was Zol, right? And they get this power, and it's the darkness power. But the caveat to that, right? Mm-hmm. The aha though is, okay, I'm giving you this power, but now you have to rule and conquer throughout all space. So now they have to fulfill this thing called the sword logic, where it's like you literally have to destroy and kill to satisfy the worm's hunger that's like inside you, giving you power, right?
Right.
Well, with Sabathun and the Witch Queen, she takes the light, sheds off her worm so she doesn't have to fulfill that. I say all of this, right, because it got me thinking, like, hold on, because, you know, we all like, oh, Sabathun taking the light. No, she's bad. You know, she got Hive ghosts now. Hive got light powers. It's all bad. But I'm like, let's back it up a little bit. I mean, let's look at the origin of how she got into this situation, right? It was kind of like out of a moment of like desperativity. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to die and they wanted to survive, but then they also didn't want to be weak at the same time, right? So her shedding, like, is her really taking the light? Is it really that bad? She's still just trying to survive. She's trying to do what's best for her species. In a way. It's kind of like, pick from it, right? So it's like, is she really, like, evil? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Sabathun is known as, she's cunning. So, like, she whispers things in people's ears. She sows, like, seeds of, like, deceit and whatnot. She kind of puts people together, but kind of like make them clash in the same way.
Right.
And so I'm of the opinion where it's like, you kind of do have a little bit of a soft spot, because it's like, well, damn, if I was in her shoes, I mean,
would you probably do the same thing
too? I mean, you got this worm that you have to constantly feed. And as you slay and destroy, the appetite of the worm only increases. So now you're forced to do even more. Like, you got to ante up more on that. So, yeah. So
that's a lot.
Perspective, yeah, that it has some serious, you know, real life, you know, allegories and, you know, compare and contrast.
And that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, what if you was put in those positions, too? Your family, your friends, anybody you ever knew, you're about to get extinct, the whole human race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just something, it's something that you really care about. Like, it really makes you think, like, yo, damn, what if I was in her shoes?
And the challenging thing on that is, like, everything she tells you, it's like, is she really telling the truth or is she lying? Or is this something?
Oh, my gosh.
So now your mind is just like, man, like, I don't even know if I could even just give an ounce of trust to Sabathun because what is she going to do next, you know?
I want to move on to the gameplay. And how does the game work? How does it function? How does it make you feel when you're playing the game? All the guns, the movement. Talk a little bit about all that.
Yeah, so the gameplay is very immersive. You know, you feel like a guardian. You know, you've got superpowers. You got specials you use, guns. The audio effects are very on par. And it's actually interesting with the audio effects. I think I watched like a Vidoc one time on how they do their audio effects for like enemy entrances and gun effects and whatnot and footsteps. And it's pretty funny. You know, it's like some simple stuff. They got some gravel there or they actually have a live, you know, gun being shot to record the sound. Yeah. And so it's just very immersive. You know, it makes you feel like a guardian. It makes you feel powerful, you know, not in a bad way, you know, not in an evil way, you know, not like a Sith Lord, you know, but it does make you feel powerful. It's immersive. You know, you have a ship. Unfortunately, you can't navigate the ship. You know, you just fly to certain planets. Hopefully they might do something like that maybe later on in another game. Yeah, but it definitely puts you in that seat. You know, you feel really good about that.
So how does it feel to play solo versus like with your group of friends? Because you've already mentioned some elements in that and with your friends. So how, like, what's the difference?
When I play Destiny 2 solo, it does feel like it feels a lot isolating just because, like, I don't really know anybody who I'm playing with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it definitely encourages me to, like, reach out, create a party chat, you know, invite them in, get to know them. Comparing that with playing with friends and multiplayer, that people that you know, is definitely like a big family. Like, it's a very good, like, one big family, you know?
There's nothing like your friends backing you up, leveling up together, right? Because you do have to level up your guardian,
right?
If I'm not mistaken, right? And just doing it all together, there's nothing like that experience. And what goes into the team dynamic in this game?
So the team dynamic, oh man, like, so there's a lot of coordination. Probably the biggest coordination is in like the pinnacle activities, like the raids. Yeah. Definitely, you got to have so much coordination. I mean, there's so much mechanics going on where it's just like, okay, you know, you step on this platform, or there's roles that have to be fulfilled that if somebody is not doing right, you might switch with somebody else. And that goes for like the Grandmaster, like the Nightfalls as well, like Grandmaster Nightfalls. Those are some of like the hardest strikes. Like, you can literally get like one shotted by an enemy, or, you know, and it has so many different modifiers. Like, if you die in the strike, if you die in the Nightfall, you get taken back to orbit. So then you got to start all over again. You know, maybe fire from the Hive enemies is increased tenfold, you know, or enemies drop a pool of something, you know, and if you step in it, you pretty much insta-killed. Or better yet, you get this thing called like attrition. So it's like, in order for you to regenerate your health, when you kill enemies, they will drop these little like well springs that you have to go to increase your health regeneration. Otherwise, your health is going to take extremely slow or long to regenerate.
To recover.
Yeah. So the coordination and, you know, just the talking on, like, you know, okay, you go this way, you go that way. And you probably can watch, like, if you watch like day one raid videos, like that Destiny 2 puts out, it's so exciting to see, like, when people are coordinating and they're just like, okay, go ahead. All right. Use this super. Okay, cool. Bubble, put this down. Okay. All right. We almost got it. We got it. It's like, you know, the boss is just like falling down or whatever. Everybody's going for the loot chest. Like, It's just amazing, man. You know, so yeah, the coordination is definitely
nice. It's that celebration. It's that brotherness, you know, that one. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, it's akin to in real life, too, when at your job or, you know, just doing something together with your family and friends and like trying to meet this project or this deadline. Like I keep saying, there's nothing like that feeling of accomplishing stuff together. Because, yeah, you could play stuff solo. Yeah, you could do stuff solo. But when you sit down and, you know, you kind of celebrate, like who are you going to celebrate with, right? Who are you going to share the love and the passion with? Because
absolutely.
There comes a lot of passion and a lot of energy and just the exchange of the emotions in those moments. And I thank video games for that. I thank video games for showing us that and for really making it possible for a lot of people, because a lot of people maybe don't have family or they don't have friends or something like that. But when you get on something like Destiny 2 or one of these multiplayer games, like you mentioned, right? It's like a family. It's like a pack.
Yes.
You go out there, you march out there into the field, you know?
Yeah.
So I really want to thank, you know, gaming for that. And you mentioned something about modifiers and stuff like that too. And this is one of the big topics that I wanted to get into here on today's episode, because so when you first start a game, right, you're learning its mechanics, how to move, the most powerful weapons. I always refer to it as the meta. Or whatever's meta, whatever's like the most, you know, thing that's going to get you the wins or to the objective. So Destiny 2 is definitely one of those games. And a lot of games nowadays are constantly being updated, right? With the guns and modifying like armors or nerfing things, right? So I want to get into the topic of the meta of Destiny 2 specifically. And what do you think about learning and relearning the game constantly, right? Because so let's say you get a powerful weapon, right? Season 1, season 2, whatever it is, right? But then the next season, you got to switch out that gear because it's not as powerful anymore, or mm-hmm. because they nerfed it to the ground and they force you to use something else. So talk to me about the meta of Destiny 2 and talk to me about your opinion on meta.
So my opinion of the meta is kind of like a love and hate relationship in a way, you know what I mean? Where it's like, damn, like I just got this powerful gear or weapon and they're literally going to nerf this like next season, like it's going away. Or like, so we know it's going to the vault. Ain't nobody going to pull this out, like unless we need it for a raid or something. And, you know, it's just like, man, so I think one of the reasons why, you know, Bungie does like the meta, you know, the sandbox is to shake things up, right? Like, you know, we probably don't really see it as gamers when we're playing. Like, we're just like, yo, it's a powerful weapon. Like, I'm going to use it because that's what's putting people in the dirt in PvP. Like, that's what's getting the W's. Like, you know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
Like, ain't nothing else working. So I'm going to just use this, you know? So they probably put that out because they want to change things up. They want to see you use different methods so that way it doesn't become stagnant, because that's an issue too, right? So if we keep using the same in the same vein, it's like, okay, yeah, it's powerful, you know, we're using it. But like, you know, bro, ma'am, sis, if we keep using this for like a whole year and a half straight and there's nothing else to combat this, then that's just going to create this standstill, you know? So they want to throw different things in there to be like, okay, we gave a buff to, you know, submachine guns this season. All right, well, we're nerfing that. And now we're going to give a buff to like 140 hand cannons. Okay, that's getting too overpowered. All right, cool. We're going to dial that back. Let's give a slight nerf to this and bring this up. You know, we notice people not using bow and arrows as much, or they're not using, you know, fusion rifles as much.
Let me see what you could do with that.
Right. Let me see what you could do with that. You know, so it's one of those things. And I get it, you know, because you might have had a method to melt a raid boss or like get through the Grandmaster Nightfall in 10 minutes, or you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, efficiency is there. You know, you want to make sure you're utilizing the time efficiency right. But then, you know, there's a reason why they do stuff like that. So what I say, I kind of agree with it. Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, as much as the gamer in me is like, no, you're not supposed to agree because you're supposed to only want the powerful stuff to stay
powerful.
Bring out the pitchforks, you know. But No, it's definitely understandable because you got to try different things. You got to try different methods. You got to shake things up. And actually, that's actually a good comparison to life, right? Like, you know, we get, you know, comfortable in a routine, you know, we people of habit, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, go clock in, we do what we do, go home, leave at a certain time, get up a certain time. But sometimes there's things that get thrown in there where you got to kind of like, you know, think outside the box. Maybe there's traffic out the crazy one day. Now you got to take a different route. You can't take the same route you used to take, you know.
Even in your relationships, too, you got to mix it up. Got to, you know, gotta keep your partner surprised. Keep them, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep partner surprised, you know. Like, you know, you can't really, I'm not going to say you can't do the same thing, but doing the same thing, doing the same thing too frequently can get boring. You know what I mean? And absolutely. Then it doesn't increase that, how would I say, like, not grace factor, but longing factor. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you had pizza if you was really looking forward to pizza today, you're like, man, really wanted, I don't know, Domino's pizza. Now you're eating Domino's pizza like every week. After a certain while, you're gonna be like, all right, we got to cool it on the Domino's pizza. We've been eating this thing for like a whole month now.
Like, sick of it, yeah.
There's no cool off, you know?
No, that, you know, you mentioned some great points here. I want to delve into this fact of comfortability and stuff, because in my personal opinion, you guys can tell me a little bit more about this too. Hit me up on a message. But, you know, being comfortable, I believe, is sort of like death. And it might be drastic, but, you know, I really believe that if you stay comfortable, man, as a human and as a person, and you know, and here's another thing too, right? It's okay. Some people just love that lifestyle. They love the comfy, you know, 9 to 5, you know, get some donuts after work, before work, whatever it is, you know, and just going home, watching their Netflix and stuff like that. Cool. Yeah. Live your life, bro. All right. But for someone like me, you know, you definitely do have to live, learn, and grow. Shake things up a bit. If you're doing something like this one day for your significant other, do it another way. If you taking one route to work, take another route to work. Smell the trees on this side. Or because we are, as cliche as I'm going to sound right now, but we are infinite beings. Okay. We are supposed to ever expand and ever grow. And we're supposed to be learning and growing and really just living this life to its fullest and max potential. So bringing it back into gaming and stuff like that, that also goes into growing as a player, as a person in this universe and Destiny 2 card games or, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. You got to adapt and you got to learn the new things that come in waves with life. Destiny 2 is a prime example of this. There's a bunch of games, Fortnite, of course, right? They're always changing Fortnite, you know, always buffing and nerfing things. But I believe too as well is that it's good for the community. It's good for yourself to learn and try new things out. And it's good for the game, man, because like you said, it gets boring and you don't want to stop playing your favorite game, right? If you kept,
right,
you know, like, I want to keep playing. And so, you know, it's necessary. It's definitely necessary. Now, the last thing that I want to hit on this subject as well is people can say one of the biggest negatives, right? And I think you mentioned the word too, sandbox, right? Developers, right. You're right. Developers can kind of keep you in this sandbox, right? Because obviously they want you to play their game and they want you to spend money on a lot of these games. And some people could say that it's a waste of time because once the meta is over, everything that you learned and did, right, people could say, all right, well, that don't matter no more because now you got to learn something new. What's your take on that? What's your take on it being a waste of time or, you know, that negative factor that people often say about the meta and like it changing and stuff like that? Like you're stuck in this sandbox.
Yeah. So with the ever changing, you know, sandbox, I would say that that's probably something, you know, as you know, most people say is a necessary evil. Because like I stated before, you know, like if you don't switch it up, right? If you don't change it up, if you don't do these things, then you kind of lack adaptation, you know. You want to kind of think of it like water, right? When you pour water anywhere, it flows and it goes around things. It'll find a crevice through something, but it flows, you know, it's water. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of formless in a way. So you got to switch it up to keep the meta exciting and the content exciting, because if not, it's just going to be standing still water, right? And I understand people's frustrations with it. You know, at first, you know, I was one of those people, I was just immediately just like pissed off, like, no, you know, this is crazy. I can't believe they're changing this. But I will tell you, like, I think one of the things I don't like, though, if there is something that's working to the advantage of the players to help them gain like resources or materials faster, right? Let's say it's like a little mini bug, or maybe one weapon they buffed way too much, right? And it's like melting bosses immediately. You know, they either disable it or they take it away so you can't use it, and then they have to bring it back when it's like dialed down and they actually fixed it. That's kind of like my only like maybe kind of concern in a way, is because like I know a lot of people don't really have time to play certain pinnacle content on the game, and so maybe that farming method or maybe that cheese method is beneficial for them, where they can get in and get out, you know, because they got kids or whatever, you know. Like, so so and they got, you know, things going on. But that's probably like my only gripe with that, is like, you know, so when we put that out there, where it's like, oh man, here's a cheese method, man, do this, and then you do it, and then they take it away. Or when they nerf something that nobody was even asking for. Like, I remember we used to use this sniper rifle in Destiny 2 called Izanagi's Burden. Mm-hmm. And we would use it for the Garden of Salvation raid on the last boss, because it's a sniper rifle. You have to hit the critical point in the middle of its chest, basically, right? And it had this perk called like Honed Edge, where you can like basically load all the different, you can load all four bullets into like one, and it'd be like this powerful like shot, right?
Okay.
Well, they did something, and I forget what it is that they nerfed. I think it's like maybe it returned one round to the magazine, or I gotta look it up, but they did a nerf, and I literally remember like everybody in the fire team was like, bro, literally nobody asked for this. Like, why did they, like, who asked for this, bro? Like, nobody even, there was nobody even complaining about Izanagi. That is just so left field. Like, we, like, where'd that even come from, bro? Like, you know, the developer was just like, you know what?
Let's fuck with that. We're gonna
hit this roulette, you know. Hey, Izanagi's Burden, man, we're gonna take you out, and just we're gonna make this change. Like, nobody asked for that.
They rolled the dice and was like, all right.
Yeah, they just rolled the dice blindfolded. It was like, just pick a card. Here again, all right, Izanagi's Burden. Yeah, you're getting this nerf too. Like, so that's probably my only like gripe, is like when they do stuff like that. And you know, and they get that feedback, you know, because some players be up in arms and they'd be like, bro, come on, like, why'd you do this? You know? So but yeah,
I wanna talk about that point a little bit about the developers, because sometimes as gamers, man, we complain a lot. Like, holy shit, we complain about everything and anything. All right, and look, developers, while a lot of these companies and a lot of these people, all they shoot for is money. I understand. I get it. We get it. All right. but they're still human too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they got lives too, man. They got family. They stress the fuck out just like us making these games. And sometimes even the big honchos at the places, they got them breathing down their necks. Like, no, you gotta release this right now, or you gotta do this right now. Ooh, nerf this, right? Because you know they're human too. They're working too. So I wanna bring that point out there, because I feel it's important. You know, when you're playing your games and you get a little upset about something, or companies taking a wrong turn in a direction that you don't really appreciate or like for your game, just take a second, think about these people over there. Because I've heard some stories, man. I'm sure you've heard plenty of stories of these developers and these people, you know, crunching hours and spending, you know, just days bringing out stuff for you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you mentioned your boy at the beginning of this podcast too, because these are people with real life problems and real life issues. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely want to get in on that. And just on the last topic, unless you got anything else to say about that.
So what I was going to add to that is, like, yes, as gamers, like, we do complain a lot, right? But what I learned is that you, like, make your argument, right? but also offer a solution. Put something out there that can get the developers thinking, right? Like if you have like a sort of like analysis chart, you can show them like the usage of a certain weapon or the benefit of this weapon over the other weapon. Like maybe there's not enough weapon archetypes of this frame for them to nerf this to the ground. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Help them see it in a different lens, but just besides saying like, no, this company is stupid for nerfing this weapon. I'm never getting on this game again. Yeah. Okay. Like, congratulations. That's not really solving anything, right? And exactly. even when you put that out there in a solution, it might not change what they did right then and there, but it could also pave the decision-making process down the road, absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to add to that one.
No, beautiful. Well put. And I also wanted to ask you, this is before the new expansion comes out, but, you know, just to give a little background about what you're playing right now, what's meta? Tell us, you know, what you rocking with right now? What guns are you using?
I'm using right now, the guns I'm using is Ace of Spades. It is a hand cannon. I'm using Occluded Finality, which is a Iron Banner sniper weapon. And I'm using Tomorrow's Answer, which is a Trials of Osiris rocket launcher. Okay. And this is just for like PvP. Occluded Finality as a sniper is very sticky. I'm pretty sure it has a lot of aim assist. I got to look at it again, but I'm pretty sure it has a lot of aim assist. Ace of Spades I can use on my PS5, but on the PS4, I can do like nothing because PS4 was like, I think 30 frames and it just, the recoil direction and pattern wasn't consistent on the PS4. But when I had got the PS5, it became way better. It was just like way more consistent. I could actually land shots. So I'm using that. And when you get a kill and you reload, you get this thing called Memento Mori, which puts out even more damage in the bullet after you get a kill. So that's why I use Ace of Spades. And it does 70 crit. So like when you hit somebody in the head on PvP, it does 70. Like, so that's literally almost like a 3-tap. And when you get Memento Mori, it starts doing like 80 something to the face, like crit. Yeah. So it's a very, very strong, like hard hitting hand cannon, but it's also an exotic though. So that's probably more than the reason why. So I got that one. I'm running a stasis subclass and I play as a warlock. So I'm running the Winter's Wraith. So I'm doing that. And that's actually interesting too. Like we were talking about nerfs and stuff like stasis, you know, quick side note, stasis when Beyond Light came out for Destiny 2 was very broken. Like it was OP. Like it was like unbearably broken at a certain point in time. There was nobody else using light subclasses. Like everybody was using stasis. And so they really dialed that back in. They made some changes, you know, and that's the thing too. Like when, you know, when they release expansions and stuff, like things are going to be broken, man. And when I say broken, absolutely. I'm talking like overpowered. Like that just comes with the expansion. Like, because the thing is, yeah, they can give this out to a group of people to test it. But the thing is that it's not out there openly to everyone. So
it's not enough.
Until they see how it's going to operate with everyone hands on deck on that, then they're going to be like, all right, we got a dollars back. Oh, ooh, wait, yeah, that was too powerful.
Yeah, that was,
you know?
No, there's a lot of cases and a lot of games where they do release certain things and you're sitting there like, yo, somebody didn't test this.
yeah, somebody didn't test this, man.
Like, you're like, nah, this is crazy. This is crazy. But, you know, it comes with the territory of the updates and the things that being put out.
Right.
It takes time. It takes time to develop. All right, like, yo, this is too much. All right, we fucked up.
Yeah.
What's the game... like the status of the game right now? Is it you think it's balanced right now? Just to close off that topic.
Yeah, you know, I think it's balanced right now. They're coming out with a few changes. I think they're dialing back shotguns a little bit. There is a certain shotgun called Chaperone that it's a slug round shotgun. It's an exotic shotgun, but the range on that is just insane. And so it was literally killing people from like pulse rifle ranges. And they were like, the community, I'm not gonna say they was up in arms, but they was like, hey, like Bunch, come on, man. Like this, like I'm not knocking, it's not a shotgun, but bro, this is literally sniping people now. Like, and they're not okay. We're gonna dial the, you know, effective, you know, the meter distance down, you know. So, but I would think it's pretty balanced right now. As far as like the player count, I don't think there's a really a lot of people on there because this season, season of the Lost is like one of the longest seasons. And, you know, there's really no seasonal content going on per se. So this is usually when you see people bowing out, they go play other games. But, you know, as we get closer to Witch Queen, I'm pretty sure a lot of people is going to like we'll a lot back. Of people are going to be coming back. So
nice.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Is there anything more you want to add with this Destiny stuff? Because I feel like, you know, we've spoken about it and enthusiasm and all the things to it, but.
If there's anything to add to Destiny 2, I would say now's a good time to get in there, you know? The story is building to that climax a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting real interesting, you know what I mean? It's getting real nice from a story perspective. I think the sandbox is pretty, you know, mellowed out and balanced a little bit. We're getting some good content in there, you know. We got a 30th Bungie anniversary with, you know, Dares of Eternity and things like that. So, yeah, I would say now's a good time to get into it. If you're on the fence about it, if you're like, oh, man, well, I waited too long or I don't know. Like, no, you can still get ahead. You know, you can still get ahead. It's not too late. I would say the train is definitely still going. Like, you know what I mean?
All right, let's get it. You heard your boy. It's not too late. I feel like getting on some Destiny. Shit, I might even try it myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? And any last things you want to hit on the podcast episode, some life stuff, maybe, you know, going back to anything we said in the beginning of the episode. It's you know, it's been a ride. I really enjoyed this episode. We hit on a lot of good topics and we said a lot of good things. So, you know, if you got any more, please shoot them out.
Yeah. So I'll add, you know, video, you know, a lot of us gamers, you know, we can get a bad rep. As you mentioned in the, you know, beginning of the podcast, you know, kind of like we just kind of hunker down. We don't go outside. But I will say this, man, everybody has a different experience and situation when it comes to meeting and interacting with people. Some people meet people at, you know, clubs or at bars. You know, that's their thing. Some people go to the beach and meet people. Some people meet people. Events and whatnot, and you know, it's kind of the same situation to, you know, video gamers. We meet people online,
yeah,
and we have the awesome pleasure of becoming lifelong friends if possible, to build long and bonding relationships with them. And video gaming is not a how would I say, it's not a virus or anything in that sense. It's just another way to connect and Amen. Play with others, you know what I mean? And and that's not to say that, you know, we're not out here exercising and not getting no sunlight. Word, like, of course we are, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to be in the house all day, but it's just, this is just our niche. This is just what we love to do. It's our hobby, it's our craft, it's our passion on what we passion. Do, you know? And so there's always going to be that, you know, that backdraw where people are like, oh, well, you just don't interact or you're just socially inept. It's like, not at all. Not socially inept. You know, we just have different tastes than other people. That's just what it is. You know, and unfortunately,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you got the stereotype out there, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. So if you're, you know, if you're an avid gamer, keep gaming. If you're young out there, don't feel bad. You know, we went through those stages where people were like, oh, you're just... You're weird because you play video games, you know, but, you know, it builds inspiration, you know, it builds an artistic vision, and video games doesn't dumb your brain down. Like, I used to hate, like, when my mom used to tell me, like, oh, you know, the video game is turning your mind to mush. And I'm just like, well, it's actually not, because this level I'm trying to get past is hard as hell right now. And I'm trying to get past it without even looking at a YouTube guide, you know, or I got to solve
it. Think it out. Solve it for yourself.
Right. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. But, you know, y'all stay out there, man. Y'all stay playing. Keep gaming, man. You know, don't feel bad.
I love it, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate your words, man. You hit them hard today, man. We hit them hard today.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I can't, if you're down for some more episodes, we are out here. We are out here, man.
Yeah, I'm most definitely, man. Just let me know.
Let's do it. So, yo, Jasan, I just want to say, man, where can people find you if you want them to hit you up? You give me your information, your YouTube and all that before I close out, man.
So you can find me on PlayStation under the PSN name Gen Physics. So you can find me on PlayStation there. On YouTube, you can find me on my YouTube account called Galmer Trace, G-A-L-M-E-R Trace, T-R-A-C-E. I'm going to be putting some video game walkthroughs up there. I don't have any content on there right now, but I will in the very, very, very near future. I'll have some stuff up on there, such as, you know, video game walkthroughs, maybe some PvP clips, things like that. And then on Instagram, you can find me under Yasuke, but it's a little spelled a little differently. So it's Y4S, then period U-K-E. So you can find me on there as well. A little delve into my life, you know, on working out and listening to techno music and video games. You can also find me on there nerding out about all the other video games that are coming out.
Yeah, we out here, man. There's a bunch of shit coming out, man. Too exciting. It's a good time to be a gamer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bro. So, yo, I'm going to close out the episode. Once again, man, I appreciate you. And appreciate you guys for listening, tuning in, man. I hope you guys took a lot from this episode, because there was a lot of shit in here, man. So, really dive deep into, you know, your gaming world, your friendships, you know, think about the developers and the games that you're buying. Think about all the experiences that you've had with your friends playing these games. Think about your favorite games. Get out there, start playing. You know, don't feel bad. But yo, I want to close out the episode. Thank you so much. You can find, of course, as always, on Infinite Lives and Games on the Instagram. You got the YouTube, you got Facebook on there, except the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/SethInfinite. Haven't been streaming in a while, but as always, you know, I'm coming back. As always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.